There are two glasses of water up here. This is mine. It's a privilege to be with you tonight, and we are just thrilled for you. For the occasion, we've come to love Pastor Joel too, and so will you. All right. The scriptures I've chosen are from Genesis 11 and Exodus 13. At verse 31, but verse 30 says, "Now Sarai was barren, she had no children." And that's really the context for everything that follows in the Abraham journey. 11:31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land, as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Beth-El and pitched his tent with Beth-El on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. And then from Exodus chapter 13 at verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place." After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
followers of Jesus. Leaving a home place, a church family, a country, it's hard, especially for older guys. So, good thing there is MapQuest. MapQuest, you punch in your starting point. Let's see, Wilmer, Minnesota, Toronto, Ontario. And then you click in your destination, Sioux Center, Iowa. And like magic, you get this map with very detailed instructions on how you get from point A to point B. And I do mean detailed. To find my way from 1103 4th Street Southwest, Wilmer, Minnesota, to find my way from 76 Chelmsford Avenue, Willowdale, Ontario, MapQuest shows me how to get out of my driveway and take a right and then a left down Bathurst to the 401, a right on the 402, clear sailing through the border, a pause for relatives, and then across miles of heartland, down 23 from Wilmer to Pipestone and south on 75 to fields of opportunities. And then a left or a right, depending on which way you're coming at the Fruited Plain. And if I asked real nicely, it would help me find a parking spot. MapQuest. Abram could have used MapQuest. There they were. The old guy, his barren wife, his slippery nephew, with servants, animals, supplies, a caravan, headed from Ur of the Chaldeans, that's Iraq, northwest to Haran, that would be Turkey. 1,060 kilometers. And later, Haran to Canaan, 640 miles. Now, a crow could have flown straight west from Ur across the Syrian desert and saved Abe about 400 miles and a bunch of years. But, well, traveling with in-laws, you know. And then the Lord sent him them southwest to Canaan. But how far southwest? Abram had little idea. How would he know when he actually got there to this land called Canaan? Was there a border crossing? Was there a wall? Were there signs? Welcome to Canaan. Ada. Actually, that's a line that should have been used 9 years ago. Welcome to Canaan, land of milk and honey. I don't think so. When Hebrews 11 lists Abraham as one of the heroes of faith, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called and set out, not knowing where he was going. He just went, obeyed the command of God to a place they had never seen, a place they knew nothing about, a place whose location was pretty much a mystery. You want to talk about trust? How does that sound to you, Joel? Amen. Amen. But would you have taken that call? You know, loading up a truck, setting out, no idea how long you'll be on the road, no idea about the place you're going to end up. You just go. And when you get there, I'll let you know. Amazing. I imagine Abram had his moments too. wandering through the occupied land from Shechem to an oak tree, and then, the ancient believer's map quest comes through. That quick, confirming word from the Lord, I will give you this land. Good. We're on track. Let's make an altar. And then more meandering. Scouting, I suppose. Bethel, Ai, south to the Negev. Another altar. And then hunger strikes. And they end up in Egypt. Now, all in all, a pretty daring into the unknown journey with just the occasional communique from God and very little detail about the way. A lot of trust. Some of the time. I mean, there's that matter of Abe passing his wife off as his sister for personal survival reasons twice. There's that thing with Hagar and Ishmael. But hey, Abe's still got a lot to learn about his God and his ways and his occasional guidance. Anyway, I left them in Egypt so that I could say, hundreds of years later, the descendants of Abe and Sarah in Egypt, because of a famine, again, get sent down the road. They're going to try once again to end up in Canaan. And once again, they set out loaded to the hilt. Flocks, herds, Egyptian jewelry and fashions, unleavened breads, and Exodus 38 says 603,550 men above the age of 20. Plus, in that unliberated census age, plus women and children. So 2.5, 3, 4 million? Now that's a caravan. Headed to Canaan, the occupied land that God had promised way back when to Father Abram and Isaac and Jacob. And they head out. Does anyone know the way? Has anybody ever been there? How long a trip is it? How will we know when we get there? Well, this time they had an updated version of Believer's MapQuest. The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, the Lord God himself visibly leading his people. The cloud, we read, by day, the fire by night, neither left its place in front of the people. Wow. Imagine what that was like. Imagine having in clear view that cloud in the desert, a cloud. I suppose I should have consulted a meteorologist. Ron DeMars, is he still around here? just checking. But to be sure, because I imagine a pillar of tall column of cloud hanging somewhat low in the desert is kind of unusual. Desert to me sounds like blazing sun, sounds like clear blue sky, but a pillar of cloud, like a thunderhead maybe, I don't know. Whoa, wow, what a comfort. A real striking presence of God guiding them along, sure of the way, maybe even awakening hopeful possibilities of refreshing rain when needed. And then as the sun set, the biggest night light you ever saw. Double wow. Clear sailing to the promised land. and full stomachs all the way. You know the story when the Wonder Bread starts and the quail, absolutely no worries at all. So how come our spiritual ancestors grumbled so much? How come they will mess up so badly just around the corner in the clear presence of God? When that golden calf comes around, or when the spies go out to scout the land and see the treasures that the God of heaven and earth had prepared for them, the God who had just clobbered the Egyptians behind them. I mean, they were assured that God was with them, leading the way every single hour of the day and night. How could that journey become such a marathon of misery? And I wonder, when I read this time, I wondered if little tinges of doubt didn't come up almost right out of the gate. Because when they are led out of slavery, then instead of the reasonable route, I guess, they're led right into a cul-de-sac at the Red Sea. Does God even know the way? Well, God does come through spectacularly. But once you entertain a little twinge of doubt, well, you know, when the chips are down a little later, then that cloud can so easily just become a cloud. And that firelight, well, after a few full moons, what's so striking about it? And God, if he's actually really there, well, that was then. This is century 21, or if we dated from the Exodus, about century 35. And we, children of Abraham, honorary Jews in Christ, are still, surprisingly, on the road. But now, everything good is magnified, I would say. Where are we going? Well, not to Canaan, but to all things new. The Bible has many images to describe the glory that is to be revealed. The bosom of Abraham, the new Jerusalem, the arms of Jesus, eternal life, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, the new creation. Have any of us been there? Well, one of us is there. Jesus, our flesh and blood, preparing places, interceding, working on all things new. And we, united with Jesus, already have one foot in that, in eternity. Or is it even both? Rereading Jesus' prayer in John 17, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the Christ whom you have sent." That's eternal life. To those of us who know, it's like having both feet in already. Living in the glow of Easter and Pentecost and Ascension, everything's been magnified, including the believer's map quest. Now, I know that's getting a little thin, that map quest thing, but that's never stopped me before. But we have God with us every step of the way, too. Not some pillar of fire in the distance, but what about that flame within me, within each of us? That fire named the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. And we might not see a designated cloud of God's presence in the distance leading the way, but courtesy of the inspired writer of Hebrews, we are surrounded by that cloud cloud of witnesses just beyond eyesight. All those gone before, urging us on. And actually, when our eyes are really open in the here and now, that cloud includes those walking with us right now too, doesn't it? Toronto Willowdale and Covenant Sioux Center are loaded with people like that. Older guys, wise grandmas, retired academics who should stay retired, builders, shopkeepers, nurses, saints of every modality, plenty of whom are quite young and write beautifully in the banner. And if all of that isn't tactile enough, there's the Wonder Bread in the cup. Every month, the shed blood and body of Jesus, our taste buds have it going down and going in, nourishing, comforting, assuring. Maybe we could actually use that every week, like Calvin used to hope. Just saying. And all of that should be more than enough MapQuest for us and for all of God's people to trust the way, the truth, the life. What else could we possibly need to keep us focused, to never doubt, to never wonder if God's promises will ever fully come true? But the road is long. The road is long. What the "I am coming soon, Lord" meant by "soon" exactly? Well, the road is long, and life can be hard, very hard. And our Abraham and Sarah and Israel religious gene pool help us remember how easily we can be distracted, fickle, memories fail, saints disappoint. It will always take a large dose of trust, an honest awareness of all the new covenant traveling mercies that light the way, and that flesh and blood crowd of fellow travelers as the journey continues with this new phase tonight. Covenant Church and Pastor Joel with Master Librarian Tricia, walking together into a land where the two of you will not have to buy a vowel anymore. That letter U keeps coming up. Although that's not very important, is it, to pastors without borders? Yeah. You know, Joel, it's quite unusual in our circles that the two of us have served the same church families, two of them that I love, and very soon you will too. They're not identical. A lot changes in 6 years since I've left, but Covenant has and always has had good bones. And the reason I said that was I just wanted a way to wonder if you carried any skeletons in your closet across the border. Or maybe the bones of Joseph yet, who knows? Anyway, the journey continues. And as always, from our point of view, expect misdirection, roundabouts, cul-de-sacs, not exactly as the crow flies, some grumbling along the way? Just a little. Just keep your ears open to the one gone and going before us who said and who keeps saying, I am with you always. And keep your heart open for the warm currents of that holy fire, the spirited presence of God in you and your fellow travelers. And keep your eyes open to the cloud of witnesses, saints above, saints below. And God bless you all together. I'm sure there's a song.